Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Hey, y'all. Hey, I am recording this without my headphones. Do not do what I do, y'all. Do as I say. My headphones are in the room with Mikey, who is currently teaching, okay? My man is currently teaching. And so I wanted to come in and do a little intro before you hear this episode. So we were interviewed by the wonderful Wayu of the Labyrinth of the First Gen podcast. She interviews first generation people about all types of things, first generation of immigrants. And as you all know, Mikey is a first generation immigrant, United States. His people are from Guyana, and she talked to us a lot about communication and things we keep that our families have done, and what was it like for me to enter into the family. Y'all have definitely heard me talk about being a part of Mikey's family and vice versa, but it was such a nice conversation, and Wayu is amazing. And consider this interview part one of like three, because we have to have her back on our show, because she's just like, she's wonderful. And I hope you enjoy this episode. Mikey does too, in spirit. But it's getting towards the end of the day. We really want y'all to hear this episode. So, you know, I'm doing my best to step up. We miss you all. We love you all. Thank you so much for your continued support and listenership. Thank you for everything, truly. The DMs, the social media messages, the text messages, especially around Noble's birthday, which was July 25th. Thank you to everyone who reached out. He would have been three. We were doing okay. July is always a bit rough for us, as y'all can imagine. But again, we thank you for your continued support, and an extra special shout out to our patrons, because we had a Patreon call that day. And so thank y'all so much. Y'all know we love y'all. And if you're interested in watching the video of this interview, the unedited video, we recorded it via StreamYard, and it is on Patreon at this moment for all paid members for y'all to see. Me and Wayu are definitely traditionalist when it concerns podcasting. We definitely put audio over video, but because virtual, you know, we obviously have the recording, and that is available for y'all to see if you want to. All right, y'all, I am out. Happy listening. Peace.
All right, we're good. 1, 2, 3, let me step into the moon. Am I the one you see when you get into the mood? I tell them pump them keys while I keep up with your shoes. We got a real nice thing in the pattern of the groove. I can feel it flowing through. I see the sun so clear when you roll it down your back. As a matter of fact.
Thank you so much for listening to Labyrinth of the First Gen today. You could have been anywhere else, and we really appreciate you listening to us today. I'm super excited for our episode. We have a collaboration with the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast. And if you haven't already, you should definitely check out the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast with Randy and Mikey, who are both married, and the host. And today we're going to have a honest conversation about what it means to have an immigrant identity, talking more about Mikey's background, and as well as what does it mean to be married in today's day. I'm really excited to dive in this episode today, and this is going to be part one of a part two series. You're also going to hear a follow-up episode with me talking about my own perceptions of love and marriage as well. So, without further ado, here's Randy giving you a snippet of today's episode. I hope you enjoy.
Feelings and things, there is no time also for grief. And you must process grief because it shows up in your body. It will. And it shows up in your relationships. It was very important to us. It's always been important to us to stay married. You know, and so like, and you must do a lot of emotional feeling things to stay married. That just is what it is. Ain't no amount of money, you know, that my kid can make. But if he is not loving on me and making me feel safe emotionally, we can't be married.
This is season 3 of The Labyrinth of the First Gen, called Collective Missions and Transformative Narratives, where you will hear the stories and hear the wisdom of first gens with an immigrant experience and or people who are navigating and creating their own paths. This is Labyrinth of the First Gen, where we are pioneers just by simply existing.
My name is Randy Chapman. I am the co-host of the Black Moon Marriage podcast that I do with my husband. We started the podcast because we were initially going to start the podcast about being parents and all that jazz, but we had a miscarriage in 2018 and we weren't going to do it anymore. But our family and friends were like, no, y'all are so funny. Y'all have so many good stories. You have to do it. And so we said, okay, you know, so we did it. And it's been really fun. It's been really good for us in terms of like working together and things. And I don't have a background in podcasting, but I do have a background in storytelling and communication. And so it was relatively easy to transfer that over to podcasting.
That was cute. My name is Paul Chapman. I go by Mikey. As she stated, we started this podcast just as a way to get closer or remain close to each other in a very trying time that we like go into excruciating detail for multiple seasons about. But it was the way that we decided to stay together and just keep talking. And I'm really glad we did it. My background is in education and people. That's it. I've worked in nonprofits and schools since I was in school. And right now, it's actually in computer science. So I work as a software engineer and do other things. But yeah, now I'm just, this is how I connect with and have fun with my baby, even though she thinks I'm being grumpy.
He is.
I love you.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. As I told you both, are like, oh, like my podcast queen and like king. This is it's great to have you on the show. And your show is very much helpful when it comes to family dynamics. And I also want to touch on the immigrant experience as well, because as you know, Labyrinth of the First Gen is about the immigrant experience. So we're going to talk a lot about that today. And the first questions that I do want to ask you is about the importance of family. And this question is about being from an immigrant culture, Mikey. And mm-hmm. particularly, how do you integrate your spouse into your existing family dynamic and vice versa?
I am first generation, born here in the States. My people are from Guyana. Family is at the center of literally everything that I do. It's why I work. It's the motivation behind how I move. It's been that way since forever. Randy is always, I felt, saw the value in that since we were kids. Randy and I have known each other since we were very, very young. When it comes to the dynamic of like my new family and the family that I come from, is that what we're talking about?
Yes, we could talk about both.
Yeah, ultimately, Randy has been around my family for a long time. So like some of the stuff that would be considered a culture shock, I don't know if she was necessarily shocked by it. She was more so like, all right, this is how y'all do it.
I can
kind of like get it. There have been times, obviously, in the decades that we've been together where it hasn't always been great. I know that I won't speak for you.
Okay.
I want you to share.
Okay. So for me, I didn't really put together that Mike was a child of an immigrant until we started dating because we had known each other or about each other before then. But I found it one really great that we both share the same values and family. We both really love family. We are family is over everything.
We're family oriented.
Very family oriented. Chosen family oriented because family be crazy. But I will say it was hard being integrated into the family at first because
I really want to hear how you work.
As you know, immigrant mothers are tough. And it was my first time when we started dating. It was the first time that a mom didn't like me. I can't, like, it was so weird. It felt like usually parents love me. You know, I'm astute. I read all these things. Like, I am the ideal. Every other ex's mother loved me. But this lady was so unimpressed or disinterested. Like, I could not understand it. And it felt very personal. It was not. Now, mom, I know mom loved and liked me, but it was tough. And so it was really weird being around, being in that dynamic of stress. But I just realized that was, you know, you have to build trust with immigrant mothers. And also he is the first boy and the only son of hers. And so that is initiation by fire. Okay. So that family dynamic was hard. And in terms of like how we do it now, because we don't hit our daughter. We really, you know, try to communicate and we're very transparent and vulnerable with our feelings to each other and with our daughter, Drew. That is different in our families. Mm-hmm. Sometimes our families look at us on both sides like we're crazy because we got hit a lot and beat a lot.
Yeah.
For like the craziest things, that is not our norm. And so it's been interesting watching our family literally have to tap into other things for the sake of being in our lives and in our child's life. And yeah.
I will say that one of the things that Randy mentioned from like the beginning, I know now that Randy just wasn't used to at all the brand of love that West Indian mothers just like give. Like even aggression is love, which is weird. It's weird to state, but like if you get it, you get it. Randy thought she was being bullied at one point.
I was.
And I was like, Randy was like, I just want to be treated like one of her children. I was like, you are being treated like one of her children, which except she doesn't hit you.
Sadder.
I was like, she actually likes you. And this is what it looks like when she likes you. Again, they have like since like grown closer and like Randy now gets it. And I think a lot of our family dynamic is really based on like pulling the best from what we got from our families. Mm-hmm. And that's how we're choosing to like structure our family. And then like the other stuff we just want to leave out, like the hitting or even the yelling, which I'm still working on, right? Like just like raising your voice. Like I'm scary enough to my child when I put on my deep voice. Everything doesn't need to be a confrontation. I don't necessarily want you to fear me when it comes to all things. Like, we can talk about stuff. I actually want to hear your thoughts on some things, even if I'm still going to shut you down or like tell you that you still got to do something. I still want to like hear you out, which is weird and new and not something at all that I experienced growing up. But it's one of the things that we tie into our family because ultimately we want to be close.
Mm.
Randy's very close to her family growing up, and I was very close to my family growing up. And that's just one of the things that has never changed. Also, Randy still shows up for Guyana Day celebrations. I ain't really going to no parade with my wife. Like, I don't think she's ready for Juve and for us to be dancing on other people around each other. Like, we ain't there. She is not afraid of our culture, and she took to the food. And, like, none of it is weird to her at this point. It's just, it was different, but she was accepting of it, which is nice. I don't know how I would have, or I don't think that we would have been together if Randy was not understanding of other cultures and how other things take place. So that's my piece.
Randy, I know like your family has their own culture as well. So I also want to speak to how was it, you know, for Mikey to also adapt to your family's culture as well. And you already mentioned some things that you're keeping in your household or creating for your new family, and also things that you have let go for your new family as well.
Well, you know, I am African American, Black American, and a lot of, because we are both, we have African ancestry in both of our lines, obviously, and we're both from the South, even though he has family in Brooklyn, and he was raised up there for a while. A lot of things translate. So the food and things weren't hard to deal with. It's Black. And so it's like, oh, you're just Black. You know, like my grandmother isn't making curry all the time because she's an African-American woman, but I've had it, you know? So like, it's not like, it wasn't, him being Guyanese wasn't a big culture shock. What was a big culture shock for me were the family dynamics. Again, he's the only boy. He's a middle child, you know, the only boy. You know, so like I hadn't experienced.
You know that kid in the family that's like loved by everyone in the family? Not the favorite necessarily, but like.
The favorite. For Christmas, Granny would give him more money than everybody else.
This is like, not true. I mean.
What?
It's not. Like, no, you mean like when I was younger?
She would give him more.
I believe it because my brother is the only boy, and I'm
And so that dynamic was weird because I'm the eldest daughter, and so I was also always treated pretty special when I wasn't treated like crap. And so it was just weird. I was like, this is healthy. I don't know.
And I don't know if I can speak for you, Wayu, but in our family dynamic, at least, or from what I've noticed in generations before us as well, the oldest daughter isn't always treated the softest. You know, my oldest sister was like my backup mother. My oldest sister was my protector at most stages of my life. And so like, I think Randy also walking into that and seeing how that looks firsthand may have been also a little bit different. But you did mention at the beginning, like at the beginning of your question, how was I treated by her family? And they loved me. They absolutely loved me from day one. They wanted me in their family before Randy got to make a decision. Randy was actually forced to go try to talk to me for us to go on a date. That actually happened. And they loved, they just love me. I'm lovable. I'm just that guy.
I see the eye roll.
I mean, yeah, they love Mikey. Everybody loves Mikey.
Why you say it like that?
Everybody loves Mikey. Yeah, I mean, he didn't have any issues. He just integrated right on in while I'm fighting for my life. But yeah, that's us.
Okay, so many first generation families prioritize building a secure future. How does the quote unquote immigrant hustle mentality impact your views on love and marriage?
Okay, so I didn't really understand it until we had to move in with his mom. Like, I didn't really understand how important it was, the hustle to them, until we moved in with her due to like financial constraints. I was pregnant with Drew. And so we moved into her basement that she had done for us, just such a blessing. And I noticed that like they would, as a family, go until they drop, and like this hustle to always like have money. And it really felt like profit over family sometimes, or profit over love. Being somebody, or to show that you love somebody, was to make profit. And so anything was like, okay, well, how are you gonna, if I started coloring, or if Mikey started, I don't know, playing video games, okay, how does that make money? That was so weird to me, because I'm just like, I just want to relax, you know? And like this concept of like relaxing was not a thing, especially because of like, right, your circumstances. You're living in space, me supposed to be doing everything you can, not taking into account mental health issues, mental illnesses, exhaustion, which we were both suffering from, especially because Mike was doing a tech program that required him to quit his job so that he could do it. And he was driving Lyft on the side. And I'm 7 months, 8 months pregnant. Nobody's hiring a pregnant girl that's about to have to be, you know, take off. And so it was really hard feeling like, for me, there was no space or time for solace. And for real things, like after you have a baby, PTSD and all these things, like it's just things, hormonal things you couldn't account for, and or just exhaustion. And just also seeing that like his mom is like, for instance, a nurse, and she works really hard, and she goes. And it wasn't until the first year of COVID where she realized She did not want to be like this, you know? That's a long time. She's been a nurse for decades. And it took, you know, the pandemic to be like, there may be more to life than the hustle, you know? So now she's like taking days off and she's like not going in until they offer a certain amount of money.
At that time, there was like a different type of mental strain on her than she had ever experienced before. Mm-hmm. She had been seeing a lot of dead people.
Yeah.
Like more so than she normally sees in her career. And she was like, it was getting to a point where she would see someone at the beginning of a week and she knows that they can't do anything for them. And the hospital isn't going to do anything for them. And she was just like, this is very, very difficult for her to like now balance. My mother, like Randy says, worked in the medical field for a very long time. And one thing that she always told me is that she can't work with kids. That's something to her heart to see things happen with little kids and stuff like that. And like at this point now with COVID, she's seeing it with all ages, everyone coming in. And Randy mentioned before, we just had our first child. We were coming off of a lot. There's a lot going on that I don't think my mom ever had to really pay attention to or like put energy towards mentally. Because again, the work doesn't stop. The grind doesn't stop. We have bills that need to be paid. The roof always needs to be over your head. You got to eat, all these things.
Okay, y'all, now that we've got our Magic Mind, let's discuss. Magic Mind, as you know, is a great shot of magic. Ingredients include lion's mane mushroom, matcha, turmeric, agave, and more. And I know exactly when my batch of 15 arrived. I love the entire delivery process because it felt personal, y'all. And when the package arrived, I was really excited. Like, Mikey thought I was crazy. Right now, I'm trying out the 15 bottles a month subscription, but there's also an option to do 30. It's the start of the school year over here for us right now, y'all. Drew is in kindergarten, and I am going through these 15 bottles. Luckily, it's almost time for me to re-up, and you can too. Even if you tried the trial and got your 3 sample bottles for free, listen to the last episode. Or if you already have a subscription, you can use my discount code to get 20% off your next purchase. Use my code RANDYPD20 at magicmind.com/RANDYPD20 and get 20% off for a one-time purchase and up to 48% off, okay, for a subscription. That totals up to about a little less than $3 a bottle. Don't sleep. And don't let this be one of the times, y'all. Do not let yourself try a good thing. Get your Magic Mind with my code RANDYPD20 at magicmind.com/RANDYPD20. Peace.
So what I can say is the hustle mentality, it doesn't go anywhere. It is like a part of who I am through the loss, through whatever I worked through. Everything I work, like it just because I have to, because patriarchy, because this country, like that's just how it runs. Finding moments of rest. Also, I still need to work to like get to those points. So like it was just balancing. It was very, very difficult. But like, I don't know. I think we make it work in some form of fashion. I don't know that thing, like I won't say like everything is like perfect, but I think we find ways to make it work with what we have. I can say I don't think that it hurts us.
You don't think what hurts?
The fact that the mentality, the you have to work despite, or you have to make things happen, or you have to do because we have to. Like I don't think that, I think that in moments, I think that honestly it's done more good than bad personally, only because I know that if at any point in the last couple of years, I just didn't do what I did, we would be so much worse off in life. If Randy didn't do what she did in the times where she did, like she needed something to like work towards or work on, that maybe things could have gone so much more, like so much worse. It's kind of like how I view it.
Yeah, do you agree with that, Randy?
Well, I think that in the long term or like in hindsight, it worked because it was fueled by love. Like Mikey worked, like he was driving Lyft and all these things. It wasn't from this space of scarcity or you know, trying to be the man. He had a daughter on the way and his wife is at home, you know, pregnant and miserable at this point.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
And so I think that that's why it works. I think it helps us move in love. I don't think that Mikey moves just because, oh, we got to eat. We do, you know, like, but I think.
Yeah, no, what I'm saying is that's baked into the foundation. It is because I'm a man, but no, right, but above all of that, it is because I love y'all.
That's what I'm saying. So I think that that's the difference. And I think watching his family, not just mom, but like watching his family, it wasn't always fueled by love. Sometimes it felt like it was fueled by perception. By habit, and not because, like, you don't even know why you're doing this. Like, why are you doing this? You know, like, why does everything have to make money? Like, there was no pausing for self-awareness and being like, what are you afraid of? Like, you know, we used to tell mom all the time, and she also knows that she stays so busy, she had no time to, like, grieve, think, you know, like, it's like, how are you feeling today? But it's go, and like this habit of keeping yourself busy to avoid whatever. Yes. You know, I think is what fuels us as part of like that hustle culture.
I see what you mean. Okay.
And so that's what I mean. Like, it's, we have, there are different reasons to hustle, but we're also gonna hustle to rest. You know, like,
yes, that's true.
Maybe, I don't know if maybe, I mean, this might resonate with you as well, but we have those, the elders in our family, women usually, who worked until they died. Mm-hmm. I think everybody at this point, every, like most West Indian people got Auntie Patty. Auntie Patty worked her ass off like for so long until the end. She is not known for being the nicest person, right? And so it doesn't seem like everything that she did or said came from a place of love. I know, though, from the stories that I was told, she was there from the moment I was born. She helped to deliver me. Like, she, mm-hmm. like all these things that, like, in context, like, oh, maybe she did love me, even though she yelled at me every time she saw me and always asked what I was up to and wanted to make sure that I looked like I was better off than I may have actually been in that mm-hmm. moment. Like, maybe that was how they showed love, or at least that's how, like, I internalized it. But, yeah, no, I think that what we do does look different, even if the energy behind it is that. But no,
I feel like both of you talked about like even generational differences mm-hmm. of how, you know, having to like work this hustle culture constantly and mm-hmm. also having to define and change that for ourselves. Like, you know, I work remotely and sometimes mm-hmm. my mom looks at me like, does she actually have a
what are you doing?
If you're
exactly.
It's just like, I'm doing something. It's I'm not about this. You're not about to drive me crazy.
Right.
No.
Exactly. And also changing how like we define work is, you know, and working from mm-hmm. home is a privilege that mm-hmm. maybe our parents and our parents' parents didn't have.
No.
Yeah.
Right. So thank you for saying that. So communication styles can differ between generations and cultures. How do you bridge communication gaps when discussing love and marriage with your parents or partner from a different background?
I don't. I just do that with Ricky because his people really just can't want to, you know? And so what I will say is that I think is very clear is they definitely admire us and respect mm-hmm. our relationship because they see what we do and how it positively impacts and affects us as a couple and our child. They will have no parts of it. It's my experience. I don't know if Mikey feels the same way, but like, it's very hard to explain to people. Like when we lost our son Noble in 2021 and everybody, there's so much about that because also like in a family of like hustle on both sides and like mm. a family of like avoiding feelings and things, there is no time also for grief. And you must process grief because it shows up in your body. It will. Mm-hmm. And it shows up in your relationships. It was very important to us. It's always been important to us to stay married, you know? And so like, and you must do a lot of emotional feeling things to stay married. That just is what it is. Ain't no amount of money, you know, that Mikey can make. But if he is not loving on me and making me feel safe emotionally, mm-hmm. we can't be married. So there's that. But when he passed, a lot of people after like the first week or so, they gave us like a week across the board, professionally, personally. Okay, let's get back. You know, life goes on, all these things. And it's just like, for me, I'm like, leave him alone. If Mikey want to drink all day and smoke all day, like, let him. Like, you don't know what he's been through.
I had 3 days.
Like, that's what I'm saying. It's just like this pressure to perform.
Yeah,
for everybody, it's hard, and our emotional transparency and vulnerability, I think, triggers lots of people, good or bad. But in the case of our family, sometimes bad because you know they see what if they had done that vulnerable thing, what positive thing could happen. They see it, you know, there may be some jealousy or envy there, not like over us, but like, man, this was possible. But when you think in your mind that there's no other way to do something, then you see it done another way, that causes, I think, a lot of rage and pettiness and avoidance. And I think that that's what we have experienced on the negative side. But positively, they respect us and they root for us and they're really quick to be like, you and Randy need to do something nice, you know, and go out and, you know, have fun, because they want us to stay together. But we kind of, if to me, it feels like we're kind of alien to them.
I want to touch on something that you said. What makes the communication different? You mentioned being vulnerable and how that's like very different from what you have seen. But what makes it different from what you have maybe experienced in your parents' household or growing up?
So my parents were not married. My father got locked up when I was 3, did 15, and then he was deported back to Guyana shortly after I graduated high school. So it was just me, my sisters, and my mother in our household. So my examples of like love and relationships and communication came from TV and movies for the most part, in all honesty. Things I would pick up here and there in the church, things I would hear from my uncle growing up. My uncle Marvin was a very spiritual man, and I would see some of the things that he did in relationships because we were in close proximity. He would tell me, you know, open doors for girls, things like that. Like, my uncle is kind of like my baseline for how I treat people in general, like how to make sure people are comfortable in your space, taking care of the people around you. He was the mediator for my family, right? So I just kind of like would take on that role or that energy from him. I didn't see anything that would be modeled in a way. I just was more so doing what felt right. And me and Randy have been talking again since we were like teenagers. We would tell each other everything about everything. And so that just carried, I believe, into our marriage. And so now we just feel comfortable talking about everything. Like, let's just address it. I think one of the differences, things that we had to learn as we like got older and when we, the longer we stayed together, especially in our marriage, was the different styles of communication. I want to talk about stuff immediately so that we don't have to let things linger. And I'm prepared to have this conversation immediately without giving it too much thought. Like, I'd like to think about it in the moment and we could work it out. Whereas Randy was more so like, I need some time to like figure out how I feel about this or what I think about this. And then we need to come back. And I just, and like, so like that type of stuff would cause like friction, I believe. But for the most part, talking about it with you has never been an issue. I never had a problem with like talking, but what would you?
I agree. And I think what also makes it different is we're really friends.
Yeah, I like her.
Like, we're
most of the time.
Right. We're really friends. And so we, so there's that. I really want, like, I feel like we're really close. Mikey's almost, we're close like girlfriends are close. Like, girlfriends, not, I think we are. I think sometimes I'd be like, girl, I mean, Mikey.
Because Randy's too close to me.
Yeah. But yeah.
Like, friendship is foundational for a relationship, I think.
Yes, I agree. And like, we really are best friends.
Yeah. Sometimes some we'll be like, get married and then become friends, which I think is
which is kind of weird like, to me.
Yeah. Sometimes we'll be like, okay, I need you to not be the spouse right now. I need you to be a friend. Can you tell, you know,
friend hat for a moment? This is your husband talking, or this is not your husband talking. This is your friend.
So that helps some sometimes when we really need like to differentiate. So I think that matters. And also because I think deep down we really want each other to be okay. And so, like, at first, when we first got married, like Mike said, he did not like that we, you know, when we would have an argument or something, he won't talk about it right then. But then I needed time. But in context, we understand now, you know, I grew up in a narcissistic, abusive household, you know, and who I always had to be like on. And it helps me to feel safe if I can actually have time to reflect and get my bearings.
And I grew up in a household where time to reflect is a luxury that you do not have. I need a response immediately.
Because we hustling.
Or else you will catch hands and feel like, I need answers. Exactly.
And so, I mean, I grew up in that same household too, but when I got married, I was like, well, I'm not in that household anymore.
And I'm more so like, well, this is still me, actually. And I still, you know, I don't want problems to linger, especially if they can be fixed. I'm a fixer. And if there's an issue, we can deal with it. And if there's one person I really don't want to have an issue with, it's you.
But yes, yeah. And being a fixer, we have found, is also another way of being like, to fix something, you have to, one, know what the problem is. And it's very hard to know what the problem is if you're rushing it. Like, I need time. That's just what it is. And you need not time. And that's sometimes I have to just also be like, okay, well, let me try. And then it's me trying to figure out what I'm feeling and what I'm saying in real time. And other times I feel like, because we've fixed a lot of things on up to this point, that when given the time, it's like, oh, that's what it was. But I mean, it's just really being friends, I think, and really caring about what each other like really caring about each other's heart space, and also vulnerability. And it sucks.
It does.
It's like having to be like, I'm embarrassed, or I don't feel protected, or I don't feel safe, or I'm upset because I hope that you would die, die, die. And that's hard to hear. It's really hard to hear, to be, especially when so much of what we do for each other individually, we both think we're acting in the best interest of the other. So if the other doesn't feel like we actually are, that's really tough to do, to deal with. But that's, but we like, but it really comes down to trying to love each other and communicate with each other the way we want to be communicated with. But we're people, you know, like sometimes it's just like, we're going to have to put this on pause. I'm going to have to go talk to my sister. You're going to have to talk to your brother. Come back and realize, because our family wants us to stay together, especially, you know, like our siblings. And so they help us with perspective. So I think that's also what separates us. We are not people who isolate. There are couples who like, don't, like, we keep everything in our house. No, I think that that is a slippery slope into
unhealthiness. Was my answer to your question earlier. Our family, in general, actually loves us as a unit. And so most of the conversations that we have are always centered around like how we can fix whatever is going on. Like, it's never, oh, I hate until y'all together. I want y'all to like leave each other type stuff. It was like, oh, well, y'all need to talk about this because y'all gonna have to figure this out. It's right. The energy that we get from them. That's how they participate, I think, in our space. Mm-hmm. But I know, but also to what Randy said earlier, it looks and appears very weird sometimes because of how we deal with stuff. But again, at the core of who we are, we're friends. And ultimately, at the end of the day, we want to stay married, but not just for the sake of staying married, but because we like each other. And I like my marriage. And my marriage ultimately is a healthy one, even when we're going through shit.
I listened to a couple of episodes of your show, and the vulnerability of what you both share, and you talk about how it's hard, right? Yeah. And sometimes, you know, like when you turn on the TV and you see people married, it's very like glossy, like you don't know what's happening in the background. But oh, I feel like you really connect with your audience, because I'm like, wow, like I don't have like a lot of models of what marriage could look like. And mm-hmm. also about like the shit that comes up that people don't like to talk about. So it's really helpful to hear it's a process, and this is how we work through that. So I also want to ask you about your audience and talking about marriage. And, you know, maybe you didn't intend to be a model, a couple of marriage or even Black marriage. But how does that affect your approach to your podcast and also thinking about what you share with your audience?
I've always wanted to shy away from the advice. Like, I didn't want to be a podcaster that gave advice. Like, here's what to do. Because I don't fucking know. I don't know.
If Black millennial marriage was not formed to serve as like an example to what your marriage should be like, it was started for us to talk about what ours is, because we felt like maybe we're not crazy and other people are also going through stuff. Yeah. And maybe we might meet other people who are going through stuff.
Because we were lonely, essentially, because at the time we were the only friends, the only people in our friend groups who were married and
or who were like married and like committed to each other.
Wanted to be married. Right. And they weren't just like playing games. Like, and we were like, are we the only people in the world that like doesn't want to hit their kids and isn't hitting each other or fighting
or cheating.
Or just being malicious and bad and mad on purpose. Like, who else is out there? And so we were like, well, the only way to find your people is to just be honest about what is actually happening.
Yeah, we couldn't find a community, and Randy was like, we can make the space.
And Mikey was like, I can't do this if I can't be myself. And so that's really what it was. And I'm always surprised that people still listen, that people email us, and we have our Patreon community that's been on our Patreon since I was pregnant with Drew, and we are friends. Like, we've visited these people, we spent the night at their house, we bought gifts for their babies,
we met through the podcast. But now I'm checking on people. We have a friend who joined our community, he tore his ACL. We're engaged with these people now. We have now been around for all of their childbirths, and we will be there until they graduate high school. Like, it's very interesting. I thought that maybe these were the communities that you only build in person, or these are only type of the connections that you find you know, within like your family groups. And while my daughter is still gonna be close to her cousins because they down the street, and like, because we're like still in proximity to each other, the community that we built is a genuine one, because mm-hmm. there are like-minded people that we've met, not in a bad way. It's not even like a cult. It's just like, hey, we also like the marriage that we're in, and we want to be happy here. And we want to, like, which I thought was just weird. Cause yeah. at the beginning of this podcast, I didn't want to talk. I didn't want to do none of this stuff, but she made me do it.
And they're Black. So there was also yes. that. It was just like, because you know, all the tropes around Black people in relationships, Black people in marriages, mm-hmm. dark skin people in marriages, dark skinned men, dark skinned mm-hmm. women. Like, it's a lie. You know, there are lots of people, Black people, that are really doing their best and trying to, you know, do their best. And yeah, we were lonely. We needed something to do to help us with our grief with the first miscarriage. And we're good at it because we just literally just, we do like prep and things, but in terms of like what we share, there are like, obviously there, we don't share everything because
boundaries. The concept of what happens in this house stays in this house. I think that that's more so if you're trying to hide something that you are aware of is shameful. There are certain things that we don't talk about just because like we're still processing it or working through it ourselves.
Right.
But like, we're not ashamed to talk about things that we have like gone through or are going through, because we feel like if we're going through it, somebody else might have. Talking about it is one of the ways in which we process it, because this is probably the only time we get to like actually talk about it. And then we usually find more often than not that somebody else also is like, thank you for saying that out loud. I have not heard anybody say that out loud. I thought I was alone, which I think is nice.
Yeah. The things we talk about are things that we have healed enough, like Mike said, yeah. to do, instead of like in this performative way of like, just like, no, I cannot talk about this right now. Let's revisit it in a month, you know, and see if we can, you know, talk about that fight or whatever.
You spoke about how like the podcast was really a platform as the both of you in terms of grief, in terms of like where you were in your marriage. Were there surprises that came out of like doing this project together in terms of the benefit that you currently have and the benefit that, you know, your listeners have?
I mean, it was really surprising to be contacted by the New York Times.
Yeah.
It was really surprising.
Yeah, we were on TV.
I didn't realize, like, because, you know, on Instagram, you know, we don't have the largest following. Yeah. You know, we have like 2,300 people who follow us. But our listeners stay around, you know, so maybe that helps. But it was surprising because I didn't realize, and even that I realized there was like a lot of healing I needed to do around
yeah.
being seen, being visible, being respected for the literal work we're doing, because podcasting, as you know, is work. And so like putting out this project and these episodes, they aren't as hard, you know, like it's work. And being noticed for real work that we're doing emotionally and in our relationship, but also as a podcaster, was very surprising. And also just like, for me, the friends we've made, like we've made friends that we will have for the rest of our lives because we decided to do this. And that is a blessing. Like it was not on my mind. We didn't really have any goals. We still don't really understand analytics. It's just like, are people listening? Like, I don't know. I'm just like, I don't know. But yeah, so I can't wrap my mind around it. So yeah, that was surprising.
I love you. Her husband, a whole data analyst. I'm telling you what it means. I think I was more surprised by the conversations that ended up happening with other family members and friends who like listened to the podcast. I am aware that our story is a nice one. I'm aware that it's complicated. I was very interested to hear the thoughts and opinions from people who are just now listening for the first time, to see people be also a little bit squeamish hearing some of the stories that they were like around for. I forgot at what point my mom dropped off. She was like, yeah. She's like, I'm gonna support y'all, but I can't
listen to every episode.
I was like, no, it's fine. I will talk bear shit with Randy, like without like, and feel no way about it. Like, I have no problem. And like, I didn't think that I'd bring that energy to a space where it'd be shared publicly and like keep doing it, but I really don't care. It's the truth. And it's interesting just being able to like, just sit around and really be honest all day. which is nice, which is why I enjoy the podcasting with her. Like, I just like it. I would absolutely do it for free forever if I could. It's like how I feel about it. But yeah, everything else, I was more so like, I pretty much expected. I was like, oh yeah, some shit gonna come from this. This is gonna absolutely happen. I was really more so like worried about what would happen from other people. I didn't expect anything. And that's why I really like, not much was a surprise, but also we're cool. So yeah, New York Times would pick that up. So, you know, Tamara Hall would be like, yeah, listen, let's have them on episode. Like, so like, I was more so surprised by everything she was surprised by. I was like, yeah, like, why do you think that wouldn't happen?
I don't know. Again, I got to do some healing around that.
I want to take a moment to say thank you, Sereme, to Mikey and Randy for being on the show and just being real and reminding me of what real podcasting is, right? Which is really being honest and talking about your experience and hoping that would support or build community. If you haven't already, please listen to Black Millennial Marriage. You can find them on iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere that you get your podcast. As I mentioned before, this is going to be a part one of a part two series. And we would love to know what you think about this episode, whether that means leaving us a fabulous review wherever you currently listen to your podcast, and or leaving us a voice memo. I have a link to where you can leave us a voice memo in the show notes. And we would love to hear from you. What are some takeaways and what are some things that you learned? And what were your favorite moments of this episode? Stay tuned for our next episode next week, Tuesday. And until then, be in peace, folks, and I will see you later. When you get, you get. 1, 2, 3, let me step into the moon. Am I the one you see when you get up in the moon? I don't know. Get 15% off a set of Brake Mess Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.